program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
War, famine, pestilence, poor planning. One of these catastrophes has prompted the need for Cacophony Number 7.
This is Boris Karloff speaking. This is the story of a house. 14 brides have been married in it. 2 silver weddings have been celebrated there. 20 babies were born in the upstairs rooms. The address? Well, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. For more than 150 years, it has been the seat not only of this country's executive power, but of an ideal of American family life. When it was built, a coat of white paint was laid over the gray Virginia sandstone of its walls, and from that day, the people of the nation have called it the White House. The plan for the White House was drawn by Captain James Hoban, an Irishman by birth and a resident of Charleston, South Carolina, who won a $500 prize offered by Congress for the best design. And time has proved it to be a noble one. 14 decades of whimsical fashion have passed through the interior, affecting furniture and draperies, but the house itself, though the oldest public building in Washington, has never gone out of style. The cornerstone was laid on October the 13th, 1792. George Washington, though, didn't live to occupy the house. Labor troubles, congressional slowness, and national poverty combined to delay the work, so that it was still not finished when in 1800 the Adamses threw open its doors at its first reception. Only 14 years later, this fine new first house of the nation was burned during the War of 1812. Fortunately, Mr. Hoban was still alive to guide the reconstruction after the war, and by the time the fashionable Monroes entered it, a finer White House opened its doors. From then on, it has gone through much the same evolution as other old American homes. First, it was lit by candlelight, till Fillmore's day in 1851 when gas came in. Then, during the administration of Benjamin Harrison, the new sparkle of electricity. Gaiety and sadness. In the white and gold east room of the White House have lain in state the bodies of Presidents William Henry Harrison, Taylor and Harding, who sickened and died in office, and of Lincoln, Garfield and McKinley, victims of assassination. And at such times the whole room has been draped in black, even to the chandeliers. There's been much debate on the subject of, is the White House haunted by all these voices from the past? In the daytime, one isn't likely to think so, but late at night sometimes, there does seem to be a feeling of the presence of other lives. And the American people feel the presence in the White House of those lives. So many of them faithful and strong, some few immortally great. The story of the White House is, in a way, the story of life in these United States through the years since its beginning as a nation. But for a more contemporary view of life in these United States,
the President of the United States had to live by the laws of the United States. In that sense, it took the highest office of the land and reaffirmed the fact that we did not have a king, we did not have a dictator, we had an elected president, and there is nothing out there that makes him any more special than Joe Smith on the street when it comes to abiding by the laws of the United States.
We have to be fair. It involves the high of the mountain, the king of the mountain, and trying to keep suppress the facts and so forth.
We're not going to sit by and let them rewrite history. We're going to continue throwing their own words back at them.
hors d'oeuvre, our special hors d'oeuvre, my special hors d'oeuvre, the apple.
Bring the master's special hors d'oeuvre, the apple!
Don't be afraid. Taste it.
Mystery Apple, take a little ride. Let me be your guide through the apple paradise. Choo-choo apple, voodoo apple, take a little bite. Spend a splendid night in our garden of delight. It's a natural, natural, natural desire. Meet an actual, actual, actual vampire. Let the apple set your soul on fire, fire, fire. You'll be hypnotized and you'll be demonized, but you'll be paralyzed, so you'll be victimized. You're fascinated, captivated, losing your mind when we cast the apple eye on you. Holy apple, sacred apple, take a little chance, get into a trance and join me in the apple dance. Whoa! Go, go! Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it! Hey, turn up, girl. Oh, natural, natural, natural desire. Get you higher, higher, higher. Let the apple set your soul on fire, fire, fire. You'll be hypnotized and you'll be demonized, and you'll be paralyzed and you'll be victimized. You're fascinated, captivated, losing your mind when we cast the apple eye on you. Holy apple, mystery apple, juju apple, oh voodoo apple, sacred apple, holy apple, trust the apple, yeah, bite the apple, bite the apple, bite the apple, take the apple, whoa, praise the apple, whoa.
In context with the way things were at the time, I did not think it unusual that we rushed out the back door and burned up all the records. No, I don't think that was an unusual procedure. No. Did you hear the lines like that? Unwitting, fantastic humor. No, I did not think that was unusual. That we carried $742,000 in two green satchels down the back door and snuck across town disguised as ice cream men. No, well, we often do things like that. Speaking of that, aren't you fascinated with the fantastic amounts of money that are involved?
They got to have a straight damn line. That, of course we raise money. Be very honest about it. We raised money for a purpose that we thought was perfectly proper.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't want to shut them up. These men were guilty.
Yeah. Right.
And we were trying to shut them up. We didn't want them to talk to the press.
Yeah.
That's perfectly legitimate, isn't it? Or is it legitimate? Not one.
I think it is.
Yes, we often kept the $700,000 to $922,000 in our safe for petty cash. Things that may arise. No, we'd never ask anybody what they needed it for. They just came in and said, give me $300,000, and he had the right signature on the slip there, so I gave it to him. In cash, you say? In cash? Well, yes, that's the way we proceeded at that time under our system that we were using at that time. We proceeded that way. That's our standard procedure, yes. I see. You gave him then, you gave this man who you did not recognize, a man that you had never seen before, $354,000, according to this memo, $354,000.72. You gave that man that money, and you did not know what it was to be used for, and you gave that man that money, and you did not know that man. You never recognized that man before. Is that correct? No, I have to explain that.
God damn it, all these guys that participated in raising the money and so forth have got to stick to their line that they did not raise this money to obstruct justice.
Well, I sure didn't think they were.
Hmm?
I didn't think they were, and I don't think they did.
Yeah.
With maybe some exceptions.
Right. Of course, they will, I suppose they're able to say that,
So I cannot see what the drift of the question is the senator wishes to make. The point seems to me totally irrelevant. But you say you did not recognize that man then that came in and asked you for $375,000 for an unspecified task. You did not recognize that man. Is that correct? And not necessarily totally correct, Senator. I did recognize the fact that he was the sort of man that did work for the committee at the time. There are many people who come in and come out and leave and rejoin committees at the time of a political campaign, which I do not necessarily, at first glance, recognize. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that I did not recognize this man. However, there is a strong possibility that I did not. According to the best of my recollections of the day, and according to according to what my counsel says, there's a strong possibility I did not recognize him. Now, I'm not saying that I wish to contradict the testimony of an earlier witness. However, there is a strong possibility that this is so.
Down the seconds to midnight before ringing in the Lunar New Year. At Beijing's historic bell tower, the deafening sound, traditional 108 bell strikes. They could be seen and heard exploding all across the city. We want to use this occasion to bless ourselves, and we will have a sweet and lovely life in the future. So illegal in the heart of Beijing, she says. Pestilence. Unexpected droughts might also occur in some areas. There will be an anti-immigrant intention, he says.
Oh,
Hear or consider an application for a writ of alien detained by the United States who has been detained as an enemy combatant or is awaiting such to hear or consider any other action
detained by the United States
transfer treatment trial
consider
or conditions of
against the United States
transfer
and has been determined by an enemy combatant
or is awaiting such determination
the authority of the president
the title 10 United States Code, as added by Section 2,
the authority of the President
to the Constitution to establish military commissions of for areas declared to be required.
Invoke the
other person who, before on or after Act 2006, has been determined to be another competent tribunal established under the authority of under this chapter may be convened by the Secretary of the United States. Designed by the Secretary
of State
or that other actions may invoke the Geneva Conventions
or
any or indirectly for any purpose
may
any court
to alter
any provision of this act or the application of the unconstitutional future remainder of this act and or circumstance shall be offended thereby. No court, justice, or judge shall have jurisdiction to habeas corpus
application
filed by or on behalf
of
military and determined by the United States,
states
to have properly determination
awaiting
no court
or
justice or judge
trial
or shall have jurisdiction
by the
United States or its agents relating to any aspect confined as an alien of who is or was detained
the
United States to have been properly detained
under
authority to establish military commission
may be
under Chapter 47A of 3A
no
may be construed to alter or limit the United States and laws of the United States under martial law
or
occupied territories should circumstances the date of the enactment of military commissions to unlawful enemy combatant by a combatant status review tribunal the President or the Secretary of Defense
to
establish
declared to be
military commissions of defense or by any officer or official of purpose
under
no person in any habeas corpus or any protocols thereto
as a source
of rights whether directly the United States or its states or territories if a provision
to
any person or circumstance is held
in
the application of provisions to any other person
is held.
Yeah. sad face all day. I don't give a fuck.
What?
Man, that's what I said.
You get shot if I don't get respected. Whoever man rolling with your brown accept. Get your neck slit, I'm reckless and my brain's infected. Effective, you get dissected. A motorcycle helmet for your medical protecting. Got your brains on the wall like a movie projector. Made it out, painted clear, it never connected. If you ain't got respect, how the we expect it? I don't stress it, stay cool and connected. Your hate gets defended to your face, bitch, erected. You get rejected, buddy, don't be neglected. Respect is your problem, I'm gonna be uncorrected. Your dome's gonna get up and I'm fully injected. FBI, like I'm about to inspect it. You got crushed like a big old insect. It ain't about what you said, it's about respect.
Bitch, come on, bitch.
Bitch,
come on, bitch.
Bitch, bitch,
come on, bitch.
Bitch,
come on, bitch.
I'll say this once, respect me or I'll shoot you. Cause I'll rip you in public and execute you. Crying for your life in the middle of the street. People staring out their windows, looking at you while they eat. As I pull the trigger, there's commotion in the diner. Brain matter on the faces of three female minors. Nothing finer than a Sunday afternoon when you can send a little girl screaming back to a room to think about the terror and have time to reflect. It's the younger generation that we need to infect. We can see from underneath, we can change the concept. Cause everywhere I look, there's a lack of respect. And every time I turn around, there's a sack of a net. Metal waste on the face of the earth with mine. Trying to spread disrespect and open up mankind. I hope you know it's more sad that you can scream and shout. But I smell this. Respect, I'ma stop it out.
I just wanted to see if we thought for us. Give it to me. Sock it to me. Sock it to me, mama. Sock it to me. Respect, yeah. Respect. Respect, yeah. Respect. Ah.
Is there any way at all that you can, you're going to talk to Ziegler, that you can get out the fact that you have conducted a thorough investigation?
We'll work on that. I think there is.
I think we have to get that out,
right.
Don't you?
I think so.
The president is calling the signals.
I suspect that somebody's going to put it together. My hunch is the New York Times will.
Bob's up.
I'm clean. Yeah, yeah. I wish I did have a bombshell. I don't even have a firecracker. I'm sorry. I got a call from somebody in the CIA saying he got a call from the best New York Times reporter on this, saying exactly that I supposedly had a bombshell. Would you let me in on
it? So now the rumors are about you.
And I said, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I don't.
Okay, Robert, what were you not telling us that night?
I did know that back, over 2 years ago, at the end of a very long interview, substantive interview for my book, Plan of Attack, a source had, when I asked about Joe Wilson, told me that Wilson's wife worked at the CIA as a WMD analyst. That's true, but every time somebody appears on your show talking about the news or giving some sort of analysis, there are going to be things that they can't talk about. It's not at all unusual. There are all kinds of things. I'm working on a book.
And his conduct is inexcusable, even though it seems to be in the process of being excused. Here's a guy who committed not a momentary lapse, but a premeditated and prolonged act of extremely unethical conduct. You know, he spent 2 years going on shows, attacking this investigation, questioning whether a crime was committed, all the time knowing that he was a witness, that he was engaged in the same type of conduct. But you know what? Bob's going to survive. It's perfectly clear because he's Bob. There is a certain elite, a government and media elite, and he is one of the people at that table.
So somebody's going to start stringing all this together. We could just say that we've had a job of work going on for several years.
You can say that the president, because of the charges that have been made, wanted an independent investigation made, and he ordered, directed you to make it. You've made an independent investigation of the situation, because the president wants, if there's anybody who is guilty in this thing, he said he must, through the judicial processes, be brought to the bar. Is that what you'd say?
Yep. I want to know the truth. That's why I've instructed this staff of mine to cooperate fully with the investigators. Full disclosure, everything we know, the investigators will find out. I have no idea whether we'll find out who the leaker is. Partially because, in all due respect to your profession, you do a very good job of protecting the leakers.
He's obviously flailing around like a wild man at the present time. But,
no, he's not really.
I think he was earlier trying, and he was frantic.
I don't know all the facts. I want to know all the facts. Best place for the facts to be done is by somebody who's spending time investigating it. I would like this to end as quickly as possible so we know the facts. And if someone committed a crime, they will no longer work in my administration.
You could say the president wants this matter cleaned up once and for all, right? It's been hanging around and yacked about, and innocent people have been hurt in the process, and charges have been throwing around. Now we've got a judicial process, and we want this thing
finished. Beyond that, you've had all kinds of senators and congressmen calling for the appointment of a special commission and all that kind of thing.
So you're it. Right.
They had no sense of the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. They believed that dissent, people who might march and say things against the administration, were subversive, were people who were un-American, rather than that this is the very thing America's all about, which is the right of the people to dissent.
Patriotic is active to disagree with the president. It didn't bother me. What bothers me is when people are irresponsibly using their positions and playing politics.
The thing that worries me is the possibility of somebody charging an obstruction of justice problem. In other words, the subsequent action would worry me more than anything. That's that area. I mean, that general area. Of course, that was. I don't want to burden you with anything that had to be done.
Oh, yes.
No, no second thoughts. That's nothing wrong.
Today, I accepted the resignation of Scooter Libby. Scooter's worked tirelessly on behalf of the American people and sacrificed much in the service to this country. He served the Vice President and me through extraordinary times in our nation's history. Special Counsel Fitzgerald's investigation and ongoing legal proceedings are serious. And now the process moves into a new phase. Thank you all very much.
Are you embarrassed by these charges?
He's got problems. He doesn't mean,
that's right.
You know what I mean?
My own opinion of that is that he just will hang in where he is. I mean, I think I think that's in as good shape as it can be. You never know.
A lot of pressures on him, right? Pressure. Sure are.
And you don't know how much will come out in what way either. I mean, that's...
Let's go.
stars.
Establishing a base on which we may further roam. We kept these two places to confine to just one place. So let's hike the way to a better day and meet the challenge of spin. And so on to one, on with to the stars. All of us must seek to do our part.
Just let them die. It's torture to death. That's what we call it today.
I'm Jael DePardo, and welcome to Google Current. Searches are sizzling for Santorum. If you Google Santorum, you might expect the top hit to be the homepage of Rick Santorum, U.S. Senator for Pennsylvania. But no, thanks to Google bombing, you get SpreadingSantorum.com. This is Command Central for a movement begun by sex advice columnist Dan Savage, the guy who writes Savage Love. The very gay Savage was offended by the very conservative Santorum's comparison of homosexuality to, quote, man on dog sex.
Remarkable. It's the equivalent of Adolf Hitler in 1942.
So he set up a little competition amongst his readers to name something nasty after the senator. Now, we can't tell you the now popular definition of Santorum because it's pretty explicit, but the net can. Hit the SpreadingSantorum.com site and get a brainful.
Campaigners.
Please look in the
You're getting really desperate.
Why aren't you answering the question?
Senator,
by the
rules. Negative campaigner. That's why.
Senator Santorum, by the rules that you have agreed to.
$135,000 a year. And I get results that you don't get.
$135,000 a year.
Rick, you vote with the president 98% of the time.
Ken, will you not get this man to answer a question?
Senator, I get results.
He hasn't answered a question on Social Security. He won't answer questions.
Senator Santorum, we're going to answer all
by the rules that you have agreed to, along with Mr. Casey. Please, gentlemen.
I hope Rick answers the question that you pose, which is why. Won't you be straight with the people?
I just was.
Just pay the money back.
I paid $100,000 in taxes.
You ripped the taxpayers off $55,000.
I paid more than $55,000 in state taxes.
Pay it back.
I've paid over $30,000 in local income taxes. I've paid over $20,000 in real estate taxes.
Pay the money back.
Why don't you pay? I'll tell you what.
$55,000.
Why don't we make a deal? How about you paying the $135,000 back that you get a year?
We don't make deals here, Rick. We don't make deals
here. Pay the $135,000 that you
get. Tell the people what you're going to do.
Gentlemen, man on dog sex.
All the while, see, I'm sitting on my side. I says, "Oh, this is all of mankind parading before all of other mankind." Let ye tee, la ta da 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 tee, la ta. What would we do in this world without trouble? I mean, just think that nothing happened. Gloria Steinem would be out of business. Norman Mailer would write no more books.
There'd be no more senators. There'd be no more witnesses. There'd be no more plays, no more novels. What would we do without trouble? So tonight, folks, let us bend in abject supplication. Let us lower our eyes and deeply consider the thanks we owe to that single thing, trouble. We owe a lot to it. Would you please, Bill, reset that in there? I'm going to use that. We do. Let's give credit where it's due. Trouble is what life is about. If we didn't other people's troubles, primarily. If we didn't have trouble, oh, God, it would be such a dull life, wouldn't it? I think that's why secretly people are vaguely repelled by the concept of heaven. And they're vaguely attracted by the concept of hell. Well, let's see.
And frankly, I think it's just as well.
You're right.
And the point is, if he's going to have this pissing contest, get all right out and fight it out. And it'll be a bloody goddamn thing. But, you know, in a strange kind of a way, that's life, isn't it? He'll be interested and he'll be rough as a cob. And we'll survive. And some people, in Mississippi, you'll find a half dozen people will be for the president. You know?
A lot more than that.
Well, we do still have some support in the country, I hope, but yep. We shall see. You agree?
Absolutely.
Totally. Yeah. That's right. Despite all the polls and all the rest, I think there's still a hell of a lot of people out there, and from what I've seen, they want to believe that's the point of it.
For sure. Do and do.
Somehow, I kind of, enjoy it. It's all part of the summer madness, and what would we do? Wouldn't life be boring if there wasn't chicanery and evil everywhere? Just seriously think about that. You know, George Bernard Shaw said it. He said, you know, let's face it, when he was asked about his play, Don Juan in Hell, I can't tell whether or not that play, Mr. Shaw, is pro-evil or whether it's pro-good or whether it's kind of ambiguous there. And he says, well, you know how Shaw talks. Let's face it, the devil gets all the best lines. And he's quite right, because we are all secretly attracted to evil. However, we all aspire to good, which is not quite the same thing as being attracted to good. Do you agree, Mary? And I am making no case neither for good nor evil, but you find that the case can be made for both. Seriously, if you're looking for excitement, try evil. If you're looking for public approval, try good. However, public approval doesn't pay the rent. And this sneaky evil that we all live among. By the way, that reminds me, speaking of the devil.
Listen up. Me name be Buchanan. Me knows enough things about politics. Get involved, mock daddies. Y'all better realize that nothing be a better way to get y'all kicks. West Side, IE.
We'll be right back. If you would like more information on the Church of the Subgenius, you could write to them at P.O. Box 181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118-1417, or visit them online at subgenius.com.
In the beginning was nothing, and God called existence into being.
Now, after billions of years of disappointment, we, the organisms, have finally reached the pinnacle of existence. For only now can we fully appreciate the hour of slack, the auditory hemorrhage of the Church of the Subgenius. Yay! J.R. Bob Dobbs has squirted his knowledge at amoebas, oozed it to the insects, and screeched it to our Yeti ancestors. But only now can simian minds fully process the message of Dobbs and the Church of the Subgenius. Every week, Sacred Scribe Reverend Ivan Stang presents another batch of High Dobbsian Bulldata, the Hour of Slack, every Saturday night at midnight, right here on WREK Atlanta.